call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We're at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Mike is back in the house. And it is, I guess it's very muggy outside.
It is.
June is here. And
I'm going to steal your fan.
Oh, yeah. You can tilt it towards
it's a little
you,
tiny, it looks like about a 5-inch diameter fan.
But it works
right
really good.
Yeah. Well, it's you get it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
My hot flash fan. Yeah.
You had a great name for it once. You called it something.
Oh, well.
A menopausal fan or?
I don't think he did. He didn't say that.
He said something like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
How are you guys?
Oh, good. Good to see you, June.
Thank you.
Let's just, wait a minute. Let me finish with the fan here. When I did pick it out, I got it at Rite Aid. And they
That's
had all different
fans.
All different colors.
Did they?
Well, I wasn't like shopping for a fan, but I saw it and I went, oh my gosh, that would be perfect for the mm-hmm. studio. And I got red because of the hot flash. You know, you get
What'd you pay, about $15 for that?
You know, it was only like $10.
That's all?
Yeah. I even think under that.
Hmm. And it works really well.
I have my 20% off all the time.
All the time.
Your frequent shopper card, huh?
Yes, yes.
All right.
So anyway, so it's Healthy Monday. June's in the house. And, you know, I have to tell you, Mike, you need to look at that cookbook. That I bought one for myself.
What's
Skinny
it called?
Skinny Taste.
Skinny Taste.
Really?
Yep.
It is.
I'm going to write that down because Barbara would like it.
I'm telling you.
It's phenomenal.
It is a great cookbook.
Yep.
Mine has all stickies in it too, just like
yep.
that.
I mean, just my first day looking through it, I kept putting these sticky notes in there. Got to try this week, that way. It's amazing. I just love it. Because, you know, she tells a story. And she also is like, dump the junk and what you need to do to dump the junk.
I am going home and I'm cleaning out my pantry. Because when Donna was there, I kind of got a little embarrassed opening up my cabinets and all the crap that was in there. I mean, not eating, you know, just it was messy and, you know, probably have like, you know, when you go to the store, well,
you just,
probably,
yeah. but packing you know, in
you're
front
just
of
packing
it.
In,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And then when you go to the store and you're like, I need quinoa. Do I have quinoa? No, I
oh,
mustn't.
I don't know.
And then you bite and you have like 3 bags.
Yes, yep. yes.
You know what I mean?
I do the same thing. Yeah. yeah.
That kind of thing. I mean, when I open the cat, because of course she just took over my kitchen and just started, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. That looks, was that you dinging?
Nah. Yeah,
oh,
Barbara,
both.
Letting me know the mail that's been held for 10 days has just been delivered. Sorry, I'll turn my dinger off now.
Dinger.
You're funny.
Yeah, all right. All right, so who's the author of The Skinny
Taste?
Her
name is Gina. I'm not going to even try spelling, saying
G-E-N-A?
G-I-N-A.
G-I-N-A.
Homolka.
A Homolka?
Spell that.
Spell it. H-O-M-O-L-K-A.
Okay, yeah.
It's a great book, and I'm telling you, Barbara will love it.
Yep.
You can get it at Target.
Okay.
For
$17.
Cheaper than the Amazon Prime?
Well,
you get a used version.
Oh, you didn't even check that?
I didn't check Amazon
Prime.
I usually do.
Could.
You know what? That's a great place to buy books.
It is.
Is Amazon.
Yeah,
because
I usually do.
A $30 book you might be able to get for $18, $20.
Well,
and
that's
free
what
shipping.
I paid for
yeah.
this. And mm-hmm. then I found out after I bought it that it was at Target for $17.
Oh, well, that sounds like the place
you
to
know
go,
it was
then.
Usually when I want something like that, I do. Like, remember those couple of cookbooks I had ordered?
Mm-hmm.
I just ordered it, you know, right online at Amazon. But I wanted it now, so
right.
I went to Target and I got it. So, but anyway, it is
great.
Barbara will love that
book.
Well,
it sounds like, you know, the type of cooking that you like to do, June, is probably what she would enjoy. And if you love that cookbook,
I do.
It's good enough for me.
I don't even put it away now. It's right on my counter. And that's where it stays. And for this week, you know, I found a healthy tip in here as well. She's always saying, giving sayings on mm-hmm. what would be good and not. And I thought I'd talk a little about fish. And she called it fishing for heart health. And talk about the real catch. Fish are high in protein, low in saturated fat, and a good source of heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids. That is why the American Heart Association recommends eating fish, particularly fatty fish, at least 2 times a week. Next time you go fishing, whether it's in the ocean, at the market, please try one of these fish that she has here.
And so which ones are they?
There's Atlantic salmon, blue crab, tuna, canned, or I'd rather get the fresh. I seen a recipe just the other day for a tuna salad with a fresh tuna steak. Oh my God, it looks so good.
I'm a little nervous about that after there was some big illness spread from tuna a couple of weeks ago. And I know that basically you just sear the outsides and the inside is raw. And I know that it's really healthy and it's good, but it made me nervous just hearing that news story.
Well, if you listen to the news, we'd be scared of everything.
You know what? You got a point there, June.
It's true.
Okay. So anyway, tuna. But,
yep. And then some salmon, sole, flounder, tuna, haddock, halibut, lobster, oysters, trout, scallop, shrimp, swordfish.
Basically, so most of the non-white.
Everything that we have on the East Coast.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and they, she highly recommends that 2 times a week. So for today, I'm going to do, because I'm going to do it for supper tonight. It sounds so easy and quick. It's garlicky lemon shrimp and broccolini stir fry.
Oh, tell me about that.
You'd get a bunch of broccolini, chicken broth, soy sauce, cornstarch, canola oil, a pound of peeled and deveined large shrimp, 8 cloves of garlic, Carol.
Oh, I like that.
3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice and ground pepper. And you just, let me see here. You trim your broccolini and slice it into thin lengthwise pieces. And in a small bowl, you're going to combine the chicken broth and soy sauce. In a separate bowl, you're going to mix the cornstarch and 2 tablespoons of water. Then you heat a large wok. But I think any kind of good pan that you have that.
Yeah, I have like a deep, you know.
Right. Just get it really hot and add the oil and cook your shrimp. Just the shrimp with the oil, just real quick, as quick
is
as
the
high.
Shrimp, the shrimp's raw at this point?
The shrimp is raw. You don't even have to do anything to it. Cooking, stirring until the shrimp is cooked. And that's about 1.5 to 2 minutes. Transfer that to a plate. Add the remaining of the other half of the tablespoon back into the wok. Add all the garlic and the broccolini and cook that, stirring the whole time for about 3 to 4 minutes. And then you increase your heat to high. Add the soy sauce mixture. Bring to a boil and cook about 1.5 minutes. Add the lemon juice, the cornstarch, pepper, and put the shrimp back in. And you stir it all up, and it would be great with brown rice, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And it would be. And that's nice and healthy.
And, you know, it's a quick and easy one.
Yeah. I like broccolini, too.
Yeah.
You know, broccolini is something, I like it actually better than broccoli.
It's not as strong.
You know, I haven't had it that much. I'm just a broccoli guy.
Yeah.
But that really sounds good.
Yeah,
and
it does.
And you can use regular broccoli with it as well. So
I never know how to cook broccoli, though. I always get, I don't know. How do you cook your broccoli when you get broccoli?
Steam it for 4 or 5 minutes once
just
the
a little
water
bit of
boils.
Water in the pan.
Exactly.
Right?
We have one of those little, like, the colander type of thing that sits, and just once it starts boiling, then a couple minutes.
Yep.
So it just kind of turns a nice rich green from the sort of shady green that it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And not too soggy, just a little al dente. Right. And
I guess, yeah. I just always have a hard time with broccoli for some reason. I look at it, I mean, because I like broccoli, but.
And this one, you just saute it right
from
the pan.
That's why I like that one, the broccolini. You know? So
it does cook faster, too. And I found this other good recipe.
That looks really good.
Very colorful.
It's called Katie Lee's Succotash Salad. Say that fast.
Katie Lee's Succotash Salad.
Succotash salad.
I did that pretty good.
But this one, I've seen it on The Kitchen. You know, the show The Kitchen on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. I love that show.
Is that the one with Chris Kimball?
No.
From Cooks Illustrated?
Katie Lee. Oh. It's
Is it PBS or Food Network?
Food Network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I forget who else is in it. Sonny Anderson.
Oh, right. Yes. Former radio personality in New York City.
And then also the Sandwich King guy. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, but this one, it's so easy. All it is.
That looks so good. I want to write that recipe down.
This and healthy. Oh my God. You know what? I'll make a copy of
it. I want to copy. I thought you had the book, Carol.
That one's a magazine, I see.
You have it, though.
I didn't get that one.
Oh, I just got it last week.
I didn't get it.
It's right in there. I'll copy it for you when I leave.
I definitely want a copy of that.
Yep. It's, you could take 2 cups of green beans and a 10-ounce package of lima beans. and you thaw them. And then what you're going to do
what
is...
What do you mean a 10-ounce package of lima beans?
Lima beans?
You know, like lima beans?
Yeah, frozen.
Oh,
Frozen.
Well, I'm thinking when you said package, I'm like, wait a minute.
I did leave out. No, they come in for...
No, but they do. Yeah, I know. In the frozen. Okay.
Right. So you take your green beans and your lima beans and you cook them in your water until they're soft and just about the way you'd like them. Then you take 3 cups of corn. It's about 4 ears. 1 small avocado peeled and cut into chunks. 1 cup of grape tomatoes, halved. 1/4 cup of minced red onions. 1 jalapeno pepper, seeded and minced, or if you like it hot, keep the seeds in. 10 basil leaves, thinly sliced. 1/3 cup olive oil. 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar. 1 teaspoon of honey and fresh ground pepper.
So all tossed together.
Exactly.
You know what I would do instead of, what was the...
The honey?
No. The basil? Did you say basil?
Yep.
I would do cilantro.
I know. I think it'd be good with either one.
That'll make
one.
A southwestern feel.
Yeah,
too.
Right. I think so. That to me looks cilantro.
Yeah, especially with the avocado in it. Yep.
But you know, I would love to make that for supper tonight, but I will never find a ripe avocado.
Oh, yes, you will.
Where?
Oh, well, I mean, I bought a couple just a few weeks ago just at a regular old grocery store.
They are never right.
Well, I think
they're
are now.
They're always stinking hard.
Well,
I hate that.
Give it another shot.
Right.
I think you'll find them now.
Okay.
Especially, you know, and I shouldn't probably say this on air, I'm not sure, but Hannaford's avocados are softer than Market Baskets.
Well, you can say that on the air.
Because I know exactly what you mean.
They're always hard.
We bought some just Thursday because we made guacamole for my brother. And good thing I had some from last week in the refrigerator because those were ready. And the ones we just bought were so hard you couldn't do anything with them.
It seemed like every time I go, I always feel them to see. And they're always hard.
Give it a shot.
Okay, I will.
And try Hannaford's.
I'd like to make that for dinner tonight.
I know, and you could do that.
And that'd be
just
nice to bring for lunches.
That's a cold dish,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes.
Cold dish.
Yep, it is. It's a cold, healthy salad.
I would almost see that as a companion with maybe some
fish.
Salmon or a fish.
Oh, yeah.
Fish dish.
Exactly. Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Get a little protein.
Go into Fresh Market on the way home, Carol?
Well, I wanted to go home and look at I wanted to clean out my pantry first, see what I have. That's what I was doing.
Funny.
And then I want to look at that Skinny Taste cookbook is awesome.
Oh,
the pictures in it are beautiful. And at the beginning, there's like quite a few pages and she shows you how to clean out your pantry.
Oh,
it's really cool.
Yes, yeah, it is. This woman did an amazing job with the cookbook.
She did.
I
look at the pictures. Look at that.
I love
chili rellenos.
Yeah. And it's with
isn't that crazy?
With beans and chicken in this one.
That looks fabulous.
And you know,
look at that. I was trying to find the recipe for that. Look how beautiful that looks.
That and you know what she says that I like is simple, easy. Not, you know, like what's the guy's name with the hair that stands up?
Guy Fieri?
Yeah, thank you.
Carol's best friend?
Yeah. He has so many ingredients.
Ugh.
In his cookbook set, I mean, for one meal, you got to have 20 ingredients. It's ridiculous.
It's true. It's crazy.
It is. I used to like it, but I have one of his cookbooks, and I haven't made a thing out of it yet.
Yeah, you're right. His mac and cheese, it's right there sitting in front of you. It has so many stinking ingredients. It's crazy.
It's so bad.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
We
won't
even talk
about it.
That one is made with bacon fat.
Yeah. It is?
You put bacon fat in the mac and cheese.
And the problem is? Okay.
Yeah. It sticks where you don't want it to.
Wow.
But she had, you know, I mean, just look at what she says. You know, she has the Skinny Basics, Sunny Morning, Skinny-licious Soups and Chilies, Sandwiches on the Lighter Side, Skinny Bites. I mean,
it's
everything.
All about eating, like, non-processed.
Exactly.
You know, organic, you know, just good food. Things in season,
right.
You know.
Right. So. And if you can't pronounce it and you can't say it, don't eat it.
Stay away from the Hot Pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
When I went to Michigan last September, my dad, we're getting ready to move him into an assisted, you know, facility, and he's had type 2 diabetes, 87 years old, pretty healthy for the most part, but he needed to bring his blood sugars down. So I went to his fridge because, you know, Barbara's type 1, and so I have some experience with knowing what's good and what's not. And I see these Hot Pockets, and I said, Dad, this is going in the trash, and so is this, and so is that. Oh. And so I started cooking for him for a couple of days, and his blood sugar was right back to where it should be.
Oh, good.
Just proving you can do it with diet and whatever other things your doctor tells you.
Exactly.
Wow. And that sounds very diabetic friendly.
It is. And she does talk about that in the book as well. But this asparagus with lemon, I've never cooked asparagus with lemon, and it's so simple.
Simple.
But, yeah,
it
so.
Is. It is. So, listeners, that's a Skinny Taste by Gina, H-O-M-O-L-K-A.
Homolka.
Homolka, yeah.
It's awesome.
The Skinny Taste. Is that her? I think that's her second one, too, right?
It could be.
I'm pretty sure it's her
second
book.
When I went to Barnes & Noble, I didn't see another book with her name on it. That she has done.
Well, let me do a little work. Maybe I can track her down and get her for a guest for an interview.
Oh, my God.
So cool.
See how badly she wants to promote the book? Maybe.
Well, she does a huge food blog.
Oh, she does.
She has a huge food
blog. Well, that's perfect. Bloggers love to do radio. So.
Right?
Okay.
So there you go.
Put that on my list of things to do.
And when you get her in here, can I come, please?
Well, she'll be on the phone, probably. Where's she from?
I'm not sure.
She local? Well, if you go to go to the back of the book. They always have a little bio on the author right on the very last page or even possibly on the back cover. Check the back.
Yeah,
right there. On the jacket,
the
dust jacket. See where she's from. You know, usually they
Long Island.
Well, I don't think, is it in the budget to fly her into?
Drive down. Yeah, we have budget to fly her in.
June, if you want to pay for her airline ticket, you could be in the studio that
day. Have a helicopter come and land her on top of the beacon.
No, can't do it, Mike. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, that. And lately, every meal I take from here has been phenomenal.
Been well received, huh?
Yep.
You got to buy you some new sticky pads there because you got them all.
It's because they're well used.
It's good.
All right, June. Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
Great cookbook, great recipes. You cannot leave until you have Amanda make a copy of that.
Oh, my
gosh.
I will definitely
do that. Good.
You want one, too?
Sure. Okay. You bet.
Okay. And I will miss you guys this next month.
I'll
be home taking care of my husband with his shoulder surgery, and our poor pooch is having a... Mm. Ruptured ligament fixed tomorrow. Ugh, boy, am I in for it.
Bring your wallet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I wish the very best to your puppy and to your husband.
Thank you.
Yeah, you'll be there as their caretaker.
That's right.
And we'll always find a spot for you here somewhere, filling in or
thanks.
Whatever.
And yes, call, because if I'm able to, I'm sure I'll be glad to get out of the house.
I'm sure you will.
I'll be texting my buddies. Are you sure you don't need me? You want me on the show? Want to go out?
Cool.
Well, you guys.
Good to
thank
see you, June.
You.
Be well.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. It is Healthy Monday. We have Steve Freeman in the house. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And Mike is back in the house from his two-week sailing trip.
Hard, matey.
We are live at the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street right in downtown Manchester. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And it's Healthy Monday, and...
The show is brought to you by Grasshopper's Garden Supply, who I understand, probably Keith, maybe? Well, anyway, Grasshopper's Garden Supply on New River Road in New Boston, and Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsborough, new sponsor, Come Find Your Irish Side. And yes, speaking of sailing, if you ever have a chance to sit down with our next guest, Steve Freeman, ask him to tell you some of his sailing adventures. In the Caribbean.
Sailing adventures
with me.
In the Caribbean.
So we'll just leave it right there.
Okay.
I felt like I should have had a drink with an umbrella sticking out of it as we had conversation.
Oh, I'm jealous. What was it about?
Oh, no.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It was just about a great trip in the Caribbean several years ago.
All right.
Well, Steve Freeman is with the Manchester Food Co-op and has become an every other week visitor with us on Monday. And he is as knowledgeable as just about anybody I know in terms of where our food is coming from and why it's good or not good to be eating it and why Manchester needs and will have a food co-op for everybody to be a part owner of. Is that a decent introduction?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you're welcome. And for people that speaking of that, you have a somewhat of a food background in terms of the hospitality industry also.
Yeah, I grew up on Second Street in Manchester, and I worked at most of the fast food chains up and down the street and a couple of the decent restaurants, if you will, with tablecloths, not necessarily fast food. Went to college for architecture, became a chef in the process, the evolution of working at all the fast food joints, I guess. Then I went away to an island for a couple of summers and worked at some restaurants where I really learned first class, real fancy cuisine, freshness, fresh from the ocean fish, and have always sort of done catering on the side or private parties or educational parties now for the co-op and teaching people how to cook with these crazy foods that are out there or just untraditional ways of making food that's in your pantry.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up just so people realize that you do have some pretty serious food chops. And when you talk to us about these things, even though you're more in architecture now?
Correct.
Yeah. And design, that you do, I mean, you do know your stuff. So we're not just bringing some guy off the street who wants to see the food co-op here. You understand it from a frontline perspective.
I think, you know, in those competitive shows where you could never be a professional chef, mm-hmm. I might be disqualified, but I was a professional chef for about 2 years. But I've always been interested in food because, you know, I like to eat constantly. So I just got concerned and involved in making my own food and growing up in a family of seven. I learned traditional dishes, and one sister liked that, and another sister taught me that. So I just learned different things to make and have always... Mm-hmm. I've always liked to be responsible for how my body feels, and I'm trying to do better at taking care of it. So food is at the forefront of my health now.
Well, today's topic, I think, Carol, interests you to some degree because eggs have been in the news and for not all the good reasons.
True. Very true. So what do we have on tap today for eggs?
Well, I want to sort of broach the subject, if you will, of eggs. There's obviously a crisis right now because of the avian flu. There's about 50 million birds in the Midwest that I believe will be shot down, and I'm not claiming to be an expert on what is happening out there. But 50 million birds being taken out of production, I'm going to guess, is about 70 million eggs a day. I think their cycle's around 18 to 22 hours in a healthy situation that they will produce an egg. So what this is doing is raising the price of eggs. And I don't want to belabor the fact that it's a factory farm. There's like six major egg producers in this entire country that control 99% of the egg population,
production.
Production, thank you. What I really want to talk about is all these outbreaks we've heard in your lifetime, if you're listening, whatever age you are, you've heard this outbreak. It was pork a few years ago. It was mad cow years before that. This never happens on the small local family farms that are in the state of New Hampshire, or if you're listening online in Finland or wherever. This doesn't happen there. It's part of why there's so many antibiotics in the food chain, in the food we eat, because there's so much chaos that they have to inject all these drugs into these chickens. So an avian flu is not going to attack. Like, I was at my sister's for the weekend. She has 20 or so 3-year-old chickens, and she has about 40 new chicks, which is just awesome. And they're free roaming in the yard, the best eggs I've ever had in my life for 25 years. She's been raising chickens. I have no concern, neither does she or anyone in her community have a concern for the quality of the eggs she's raising, because none of these conditions have ever come to be a problem in the small family farms, organic farmers of New Hampshire. So really my message is, start looking outside of the mass-produced egg cartons you see at the grocery store and buy them from the local farmers or the local the farmers market or the small fruit and produce centers around the state or the co-ops that exist in the state. You'll never have those problems. And what this is going to do, this virus, is it's going to, I think, about double the cost of eggs, which you could speak to.
Yeah.
Double the cost of eggs, which I think you're paying probably 17 to 19 cents an egg now.
Yeah, exactly.
And food costs.
You know your stuff.
Food cost is going to double for the restaurant. So, you know, when you pay a dollar extra for an egg at the restaurant, it's now going to be about $1.75, $2, because that's the way the numbers work in that business. So it's a great opportunity to ask yourself, where am I going to get my healthy eggs from? I need to look to my co-ops. I need to look to my local providers for this, because this will never be in the news if it's from a local farm.
So how has it affected the Red Arrow, which is a 24/7 breakfast provider?
I mean, it's really affecting all restaurants that serve breakfast and, you know, and serve eggs, because it is, I mean, it like Steve just said, it doubled our food cost on, you know, for eggs. So we have a sign on the door and all the diners, and basically tells them that we need, you know, the charge is coming on to us, so we're actually charging mm-hmm. for an extra surcharge for eggs.
Any pushback eggs. From customers that maybe were not aware of the avian flu?
No.
Well, that's good.
You know, Amanda wrote it up really, you know, at night. There's been a couple of them that have said something, and it's like, well, have you listened to the news? I mean, you know, so.
And it's not only restaurants. Restaurants is what you think of for eggs over easy, you know, bacon and eggs, omelets. It's bakeries.
It's true.
It's food. It's all these restaurants that use yep. eggs and several other dishes. They're really a vital component to many,
it
many
is.
Foods. They're in a lot of processed foods as a binder and whatnot. So it's, again, it's just an opportunity to ask yourself, where am I going to get a fresh, healthy egg? And aside from that, you crack an egg from a fresh local farm, that egg was hatched, you know, hours. It saw nighttime once, sort of thing, since it was hatched. The eggs I ate this weekend were still warm. And the orange of the yolk is like looking at the sun.
So
it's
rich,
just,
isn't it?
It's so
amazing.
Nice and rich, yeah.
And I'm happy to say that I've introduced fresh eggs to a few friends who were anti-egg. I don't like the flavor of eggs. I think they're gross. And they're blown away by how good an egg can taste when it's fresh. And you definitely notice a difference if you've been eating fresh eggs for a while and you eat a commercially bought egg. It's very flat, limp, mm-hmm. flavorless, et cetera. And you just can't escape how great they are when they're fresh. And I just wish I encourage more people to get out there and try fresh local eggs. And the cost of eggs, you know, I think they're $2.20 a dozen or so for the cheap eggs at the store. That's 20 cents an egg for an incredible serving of protein and healthy vitamins and all those great things. It is one of the most efficient forms of nutrition on the planet, including bananas also, for that matter. And it's one of those things, I ask a lot of people who, why do people peel corn when you buy it? Corn is really cheap, 39 cents, 60 cents an ear. And I see everybody, every walk of life peeling
corn.
They
want to see the tip of it, right?
I don't know. I just buy it and I live with what it is. It's not like I'm buying a Porsche and I got to examine what's under the hood sort of thing. Eggs and milk are one of those things that people are very, very conscientious of. A gallon of milk went from $3.29 to $3.39. I don't know if I can keep drinking milk, but I bought filet mignon was $25 a pound, but it was delicious.
You are right. You know, when you think about that, people complain about, you know.
Eggs, milk, gasoline,
yep.
soda, and water, like five top things. We nickel and dime ourselves mm-hmm. to death. Look outside of this country to see what they're paying for those products, and you won't nickel and dime yourself anymore.
Let's get back to raising chickens. We have friends. In fact, the people that took us sailing have about, I don't know, 10 or 12 chickens, and they're always very generous with their friends, including us, during the egg-producing season with local eggs. So I totally get what you're saying on mm-hmm. the rich color of the yolk, and it's perfect. So what happens with local production and availability in the winter when chickens essentially go into dormancy as far as doing eggs in a normal setting?
They slow down, but in my sister's case, again, I'm not an expert. She mm-hmm. puts a light on to extend to make it artificial daylight, because I think it's, whatever, 14 and three-quarters hours of daylight a chicken needs to produce eggs. And in the factory farms, they're in a dark shed. So they put the lights on for mm-hmm. whatever the time frame is, shut it off for the time frame, turn it on.
But I wonder if it's a certain kind of light. I don't think you can put up those long neon tubes. It must be light that contains certain wavelengths
it's
of
a
energy.
We used to have chickens when we lived in Warner. We got eggs year-round.
But they slow down in the winter. I mean, if you had the coop lit to some degree, then but they do slow down. And I think part of it is the molting process and the energy required for the feathers to regenerate. So I think it's a number of different issues that are at play here. I don't know. I'm not an expert, not pretending to be one. This is my mild understanding of it.
I'm pretty sure it's a factor of hours of daylight or simulated daylight. I'm sure there's a certain type of wavelength of light in the big hatcheries they use. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but according to my sister, when she extends the time in the winter, they start producing more frequently.
All right, so talk to us a little bit about the fact that you mentioned six giant egg producers responsible for 99% of what's bought commercially in this country. What happens? I mean, when they go down, and they're going down as we speak, right, because
Correct.
Of the disease?
What happens is up go the prices, we pay the price.
Yeah.
And the other side of this coin, if you will, we have no control, no influence over how they operate. And part of the way they operate, I certainly thought for most of my life that it was one farm in Kansas that was 8 million acres that had 100 million chickens. That's not the way it is. They have contracts with all the smaller farmers that used to be local community owned. There's a couple of documentary movies out there that illustrate this. So they're all under contracts. So whatever some egg company's name is, they may have contract. They may own a few hundred acres or thousands of acres of farmland themselves, but they typically contract with several small farms, and they regulate the feed and all the conditions, et cetera, to stabilize it. But the farmer themselves really is just kind of processing what they are told to do and under contract to provide. And typically the contracts they sign, unfortunately, farmers aren't the greatest business people in the world. The contracts are designed to get them to fail and turn over the farm to the big manufacturers over after a length of time. So there's a lot of lawsuits. It's really kind of ugly. And on that ugliness, the other side of that, your fresh local farms that you get your eggs from or your friends, you know it, they're feeding their eggs, table scraps, cornmeal, whatever chicken feed is from the local farm supply store. You have no idea the amount of chemicals that are put in preservatives that are put into the commercially grown eggs, and they are not required to label them. So when it says, you know, 100% real eggs, well, that's not really true, because it's the 35 pesticides that they used in the feed that was fed to them that doesn't have to be classified. And that's where a lot of our health problems are stemming from today, is what you don't see on the package.
That's what Rocco kind of talked about in the last couple segments back, on the hormones and the other imbalances, the stuff that's in it that you don't know can affect the hormone balance in, well, primarily women, but it would affect us all. So you don't even know.
All those extra, yeah.
It's absolutely true. And unfortunately, we, like the chickens, are kept in the dark about what we're really being fed. And I'm actually starting to get, I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I'm starting to get upset because I read ingredients. I think I talked about this last week with Carol, that it says 100% juice. Well, it's not 100% juice. It's water. It's reconstituted pulp. It's sugar. How do they get away with telling us it's 100% juice on the bottle? I don't know the answer to that, but I've always been a label reader. I've always read instruction manuals. That's just my brain type. Forgive me, but I kind of have always been fascinated by, if you really read through the things, what it tells you and what is in there, it really makes you question.
If you can't pronounce it, you're not supposed to eat it, right?
Yeah. And I had to get a medicine last week, and I was reading what the recommendations are, what the ingredients are, what the side effects are. And I'm like, doc, I don't want this stuff. Give me something natural from a tree. I don't want these chemicals in my body.
Ooh, what did he say to that?
He said, you can take this or find your own solution. And I have a bit of a problem with that, but it's working for now. And it's a hearing issue, and having lack of hearing is really mind numbing.
Oh, I had that in April. I had two ruptured eardrums, and I lost 80% of my hearing for about 2 weeks.
I couldn't hear. It was horrible.
I want to drive a nail through my ear. It's just awful. And it just throws off your energy, your balance, your level of tiredness opposite of tired energy.
Yeah, fatigue. Was it just an illness you had?
It's just an infection I have, and three days of these caustic drops in my ear, and I can hear again. So in this case, it's worth it for me, but it's like I don't want to be on anything of maintenance that has those chemicals in it. I'll do it for a quick fix. But again, it's just the awareness of what is this thing you're putting in. It was a new doctor, and I said, I want to be clear. I have no drugs in my system. I don't take multivitamins. I get my vitamins and nutrients from a well-balanced diet. I don't want you to just subscribe to me what the rep is telling you to give me. I want you to address the problem, and let's fix it.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of put my foot down. I think a lot of people are, doc, can you give me something to fix this?
Yeah, that's true.
That's sort of the response.
That's how it's always been. You know, you go to the doctor, give me something to make it better.
And I'm more of the kind where, how can I change my diet to fix my hearing? And the answer is, there's nothing you can do in your diet in this case. I'm like, okay, then I will take medicine. Should have been clear about that. I did say, can I eat more carrots or kale or something?
That's for your eyes.
we need to go on a short break. And I do want to pass along some information. I apparently there's some multiple reports that say that Route 3A is closed in the area of the Hooksett rest area due to an accident. Seek alternate routes. We'll keep you posted here on The Pulse. So keep that in mind. Route 3A in the area of the Hooksett rest area. You're listening to Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Live at the Beacon Building. I hear it's kind of muggy outside today. I think it's supposed to be pretty nice for the most part all week, right? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be the usual garden variety thunderstorms that pop up in the afternoon. But, you know, it's not been a bad summer, really. In fact, it's been a little cooler. As you know, I was sailing last week and was covered up with a hoodie or long pants for much of the time at open sea, just for sunburn purposes. And no matter how hard you try, the sun still gets through your clothes. Although Athleta, a brand that Barb likes to use.
I love Athleta.
It has, they say, somehow in the fabric, a something UV. That slows down the UV. I don't know how that works. Maybe Steve does. He seems to know these types of things. He's the guy I go to for those explanations.
There's a lot
Mr.
of
Mr. Sunburn.
There's a lot of I didn't cover up. There's a lot of brands out there now that are offering UV protection, and they take the unfertilized eggs from the avian flu farms and shred it.
Stop it!
I don't know what it is. I do know though it's sort of dipped into. A chemical solution, okay. Which is what does it, much like a dryer sheet is a chemical solution.
All right, so because we're a little short on time here and the BS factor was starting to just kind of come out a little bit there. All right, so what's coming out right now? What is being harvested and what are we going to have too much of that we can repurpose or save for another time?
So right now, particularly in New Hampshire, it's strawberry season and raspberry season. So they're popping out of the bushes right now. The best strawberries you'll have all year long, I promise you. Just buy them from wherever you see them roadside. Now, if you are a smaller family or you don't have a heavy diet of fruit and your fresh fruit starts to go bad, something new I've come up with just this summer, and I'm sharing it because it's such a great idea. I wash it and then freeze it because you're never supposed to wash your strawberries or raspberries until you're ready to eat them because the moisture will make them go moldy or soggy really quickly. So you only wash your strawberries as you consume them. Don't take the whole bucket home, wash them, and put them in your fridge.
But
if you do that, because we were taught to do that, and you go to your fridge tomorrow and all your strawberries are soggy, cut off the tops, freeze them, use them in smoothies or fruit blended shakes, whatever you want to call those drinks. That's what I started doing because I hate throwing out. I hate wasting anything, but especially beautiful fruit. Even when I have a peach or a stone fruit and it's not perfectly ripe, it's mealy, I say, I'm not going to eat this. It's not enjoyable. I'm going to cut it up. I freeze it, and then I put it into my smoothie. So it's a great second life for a product you already bought and paid. Lots of resources went into it to get it out of the ground. So don't just throw it away. We, as a country, throw away about 30% of the food that comes out of the grocery store, and we don't even see the 20 or 30% that doesn't even make it to the grocery stores.
Because it's not pretty, right?
Because it's not pretty, yeah. Right. So when your food gets ugly, but it's not moldy or rotten, freeze it and use it in a blended solution that you won't recognize that it's not perfect.
Now, you talk about a smoothie. Do you have a particular recipe of a smoothie that you do every morning?
Not every morning, no, but my recipes are typically fruit, cocoa nibs, hazelnuts or almonds, and ice and water. I don't typically add dairy, cream, or milks of any kind, although some people, that's their formula, and that's fine. Sometimes I'll put maca powder in or different protein powders or natural root powders. And it's one of those things where I read about it. It sounded great. I bought it. I don't know why I still use maca root, for example.
What the heck is that?
I don't know. It's from Peru, and it's prohibitively expensive, but I only
matcha.
Use it to...
Isn't it matcha?
Sure.
I mean, it's green, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, matcha.
And it smells kind of funky.
It does.
But
And it is very expensive.
But it's been used for 600,000 years, and it keeps the Peruvians healthy and intact. But cocoa nibs... or cocoa beans, you know, chocolate. That's the part of chocolate that's really good for you. It's the bar formulation that makes it less than good. So just pure cocoa, cocoa beans or cocoa nibs.
Which get those?
At the health food stores.
At the health
and
food stores.
And actually, they're starting to show up. They're starting to show up.
In they're more mainstream now.
They're more mainstream.
Yeah.
And cocoa nibs are not expensive, not inexpensive either, but you only need a teaspoon. And for me, I like my smoothies to have texture, so that's why I always throw in some nuts, some cocoa nibs, seeds, anything like that that gives you healthy attributes to your smoothie.
All right, can I get back to buying roadside fruit this time of year, which is, this is, as you say, the best time. And do we need to even bother washing it? I mean, maybe just to get the dead bugs out, but I mean, if they're not using pesticides, I find that rinsing fruit fairly pointless, knowing what's already on there that I probably can't get out of it.
From everything I've read in the past few years, and I read daily about food and farming, washing your fruit is a feel-good thing. Because what went into that fruit to get it to grow is whatever chemicals and pesticides they sprayed on the ground or on the crops, wherever, it's in the strawberry, if you will. And actually, commercially developed strawberries are one of the highest in the country of pesticide concentration. But you don't know that because it's not listed. It just says fresh strawberries. It doesn't tell you the 54 ingredients that are on the list. So, right. No, you don't necessarily have to wash it, but if it makes you feel better, it moistens the fruit, makes it easier to ingest, go ahead and wash it.
Steve Freeman, Manchester Food Co-op, is with us every other Monday with so much fascinating information.
Very.
I love having Steve
here.
I love it. Thanks, pal.
Learning something.
Thank you.
You're listening to Food for Thought. Up next is Kale and Company, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.